Surely thank all of you for being here this morning. I'm a little concerned, however, because I think some of our deacons are becoming delusional. If they think I'm going to cut my sermon... We do appreciate very much your being here. It is a great day, and we want to welcome all of you who may be visiting with us this morning. We do hope that all of you will stay for the concert that is to be presented immediately following this service. I know that some of you perhaps might need to leave for job concerns, but we hope that you won't leave if you don't have to, and that you will stay. These young people have made their way all the way from Searcy, Arkansas, to be with us, and we're delighted that they've come, along with Brother Kelly Neal, and who directs this group, and I think that you'll enjoy this very, very much. You know, spring is in the air. Have you all noticed that? It's amazing when you look out and you see all the things blooming that are blooming, the red buds. You look at the daffodils, the azaleas, and you look at the irises, and also the beautiful pear trees. And someone asked me earlier, they said, what about the dogwoods? Well, that's a little bit early to be thinking about the dogwoods. But I'll tell you one thing for sure. It's not too early for you to be thinking about the cost involved in becoming a Christian, a child of God. What does it cost to be a Christian? You know, a lot of people never really give a lot of thought to what it means to be a Christian or to be a child of God. But I want you to think with me this morning on this subject. Have you counted the cost? In the book of Luke, the 14th chapter, beginning at verse 25, the Bible says, and if you have your Bible, you may read along, or you may read along with the scriptures that we have before you here this morning. The Bible says, and there went great multitudes with him, that is Jesus, and he turned and said unto them, if a man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children and brethren and sisters, yea, even his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it, lest happily after he had laid the foundation, he is not able to finish all that he behold, and behold, it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and is not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he shall be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else while with the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. Now, Christ had much to say about this subject of discipleship. He had much to say about the cost that was involved in becoming a child of Almighty God. If I were to ask you the question this morning, are you a Christian? What would you say? Are you a follower of Christ? Or have you counted the cost of being a Christian? And have you counted the cost of not being one of the children of God who is in heaven? You know, a lot of people today want to please the crowd, and we want to minimize the cost, and we want prices to fall. But the wages of sin is still death, and the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I know one thing, that Christ was not a people pleaser. Do you know that there are a lot of people in the world today, and oddly enough, a lot of preachers of the gospel who want to tickle the ears and please people? They're more interested in pleasing men than they are pleasing God. Bible again says in that 14th chapter of the book of Luke, and there went great multitudes, and he turned and said unto them, if a man come after me and hate not his father and mother, and don't let that throw you, God is not asking you to hate your mother and your father. When the King James translators use that word hate, it means that they love them less. That's really what he's talking about. You love God more than you love your mother or your father. You love God more than you love your wife. You love God more than you love your children. You love God, as Jesus said, even more than your own life. Jesus did not try to please the crowd, but he was interested in pleasing the Father who is in heaven. And his teaching did not change in order to hold on to his followers. For in the book of John, chapter 6, verse 60 through 62, and even in verse 66, we find where Jesus began to talk about his impending death and the fact that he was going to die and leave this world, leave his disciples, and that they were going to have to eat of his bread and drink of his blood. And the Bible said they were disillusioned by all of that and even murmured in their heart. And Christ asked a question. He said, "Does this offend you?" You know what? I've never really been so concerned in my ministry about offending people with the Word of God. I've always been concerned about offending people with perhaps my attitude or offending people by my opinions, but not with the Word of God. I have always spoken the truth forthrightly, and I believe with all of my heart, as Jesus said, that heaven and earth may pass away, but my word will not pass away. And as Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11, that I must speak as an oracle of Almighty God and to preach the truth, to be instant in season, out of season, to reprove, to rebuke, to exhort with all longsuffering. For the time will come when they will try to appeal to those in the world to teach and preach things that are contradictory to the law of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "Does this offend you?" Does it offend you? In verse 61. But Jesus demanded that people count the cost and pay the price without excuses. Do you know that excuses were never, ever really accepted by Jesus? Not at all. Many people made excuses about why they didn't follow Christ, just like there are many today who make excuses about why they are not following Jesus and why they've not become baptized believers. And yet Christ does not accept excuses. Some people say, one of these days I'm going to obey the gospel. But in the 14th chapter again of the book of Luke and other passages in the Bible, there were people that gave one excuse right after another as to why they were not going to obey the gospel of Christ. But Jesus never, ever minimized the truth. As I said, he did not try to please people. You know what? I learned a long time ago, when you start trying to please people instead of God, you make a monumental mistake, and you will never, ever please everybody. I can't even please my wife half the time. Now, I don't know what you're laughing about. How many of you please yours? There's a story told about an old man one time and a little boy on a donkey who were riding on their way through town, and they passed a group of people who said, "What a shame for that old man to be walking while that perfectly able-bodied boy rides that donkey." So the boy got off the donkey and the old man got on. They later passed by some other people who said, Why should that little boy have to walk when they have a donkey to ride on?" So the little boy got on the donkey and they both rode it, and after a while they passed some more people. They overheard the people say, "That poor donkey must be wore out from carrying both of them." So the little boy and the old man picked up the donkey and started to carry it. And they were carrying the donkey across the bridge, and the weight of the donkey became too unbearable and slipped from their grasp and went over the side of the bridge into the water, and they drowned. Now, the moral to this story is, if you try to please everybody, you will fail, and you will. We must forsake all to be a disciple of Jesus, Luke 14 and verse 33. But this thing of counting the cost of discipleship, what did Jesus say? Well, the cost involved is that we are to prefer Christ above all else. Jesus said in the book of Matthew chapter 6 and also in Luke 16 that no man can serve two masters. Either you'll cling to the one and despise the other, or hate the one and love the other. You just cannot please two masters. It isn't going to happen. We must love Jesus more, for in the book of Matthew 10:37, Jesus said, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy to be called my disciple. There is a price to pay. There is a price to pay. What is that price that we must pay? Well, the Bible teaches us that according to the book of Luke 14 and verse 33, Jesus said, "For whosoever does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple." And then in Luke 9 and verse 23, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." There are three things that are involved in coming to Jesus Christ, and here they are. First of all, there is what we call sacrifice, and very few people in today's world want to sacrifice at all. It means to give up something that is dear to you, even to your own life, that you may please God. The Bible teaches that we are to live that sacrificial life. The book of Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says that we are to sacrifice our life that we may please Him. And then there is submission also, Christ said. That means that we submit to someone else. People don't want to submit to anything today. They're not ready to submit. They think only of themselves. They're not thinking about humbling themselves under the authority of anyone. People rebel against authority. But we must be willing to submit unto the authority of Jesus, Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. And then we must be steadfast. That is to continue doing what God has asked us to do and understand, first of all, that it is a lifetime commitment. You know, a lot of people begin that walk with Jesus by sacrificing, and they say, "Oh, I'm going to submit," and they talk about how steadfast they are. And they're steadfast for a period of time, but they fail to understand that it is a lifelong commitment. When you commit yourself to Jesus, it is a lifetime commitment unto Christ. Jesus is not interested in those who would shallow their relationship with Him or walk in a on-again, off-again relationship. Have you counted the cost of being a Christian? How can I be saved? A lot of people never ask that question, but I'm going to tell you something. It is one of the most often asked questions in all of the New Testament. How can I be saved? Well, Jesus in the book of Mark 16 said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." In the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost, they asked the same question, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin." For in Acts 17 and verse 30, the Bible said, "In the times of ignorance, God winked at. But now He commands all men everywhere to repent." We must renounce our past sin. If I'm going to be saved and I'm going to heaven and I want to really understand what the cost is, then I must renounce my past sin. I must give up my old way of living in order to please God, according to what Christ had to say, and that's repentance. He said, "I tell you, nay, but unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish." And then it involves humility before God and before man. For the book of James chapter 4 and verse 10 offers these words, that God resisteth the proud, but He gives grace unto the humble. And He does. And how thankful we are today that God lifts us up as His children. But have you considered the cost of becoming a Christian? I told you a moment ago that there are always excuses that people offer for not becoming Christians. And there are many of them. There are always those people who object to becoming children of God. Sometimes people say, I'm going to have to start living a different life. And that is true. Jesus said you have to live a different life in order to please Him, Acts 26 and verse 28. And we must, according to Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, present our bodies as a living sacrifice unto God. But then there is that different way of thinking. That means your mindset has to change. You have to start thinking like God. Listen to what the book of 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5 says. It says that we are to cast down our imaginations in every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God or the knowledge of Christ. Very few people are willing to do that. But if we're going to please God, then we must. Have you counted the cost of standing for truth? You know, there are a lot of people who will not stand for truth today. And Paul the Apostle in the book of Galatians chapter 4 and verse 16 said, "Am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Do you know you make a lot of enemies when you tell the truth? People don't like the truth. They don't. They say they want it, but when you preach the truth, a lot of people don't like it. Have you counted the cost of standing for truth? Think about what it cost Jesus. It cost him his life, Matthew 27. His death upon the cross, it cost him his life. Why, Christ didn't ask us to do something he was unwilling to do in that 14th chapter of the book of Luke when he said that if you're going to come after me, deny yourself and pick up your cross and follow me. And he said, if a man is not willing to sacrifice his own life, then he's not worthy to be called my disciple. Think about what it cost the apostles in the book of 1 Corinthians 4. It cost them their lives. Every one of them died the death of the martyr. John, the last living apostle, was exiled to the Isle of Patmos. Wrote the book of Revelation from there. But think about those who died for the cause of Jesus. But here's the question. Does it cost you, even those of you who claim to be followers of Christ today, and those of you who are Christians, what does it cost you? Does it cost you anything to be a Christian? I'm afraid if the truth were known this morning that it cost us very little of our time, of our effort, of our money, our energy, very little. But let me remind you of something that King David said a long time ago in the book of 2 Samuel 24 and verse 24. He said, "I will not offer unto the Lord that which costs me nothing." People are willing to sacrifice if it doesn't cost them anything. People are willing to become a Christian if all you ask is that I sit on a church pew. I'm willing to be a Christian if all I have to do is show up on Sunday morning. I'm willing to be a Christian if all I have to do is just act like I'm a Christian when I'm around other folk and then live like the devil the rest of the time. David said, "I will not offer to God." I'm not going to be a hypocrite. He said, "I will not offer unto God that which cost me nothing." Have you counted the cost of being faithful unto death? That's the real cost. For Revelation 2 and verse 10, the Bible says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." The crown comes to those who are faithful unto death, not those who begin the walk with Christ. Solomon said, "Better is the ending of a thing than the beginning thereof." A lot of people begin a walk, but are you still walking with Christ? Do you know a lot of people in this world make, again, monumental mistakes by thinking only of this life? Life is brief, according to the book of James chapter 4 and verse 14. Your life is as a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanisheth away. I read an article the other day entitled, "He Made One Mistake." And I thought about this as I read this, how true it is of people in general. This man made one mistake. He brushed his teeth twice a day with a nationally known toothpaste. The doctors examined him twice a year. He wore shoes that did not hurt his feet. He slept with the windows open for the fresh air. He stuck to a diet with plenty of vegetables. He relinquished his tonsils and traded in several of his worn-out glands. He golfed, but never more than 18 holes at a time. He got at least 8 hours of sleep every night. He never smoked. He never drank. He never lost his temper. He did his daily dozen daily. He was all set to be 100. His funeral service will be held this Wednesday. He is survived by 18 specialists, 4 health institutes, 6 gymnasiums, and a number of manufacturers of health foods and antiseptics. His mistake was that he did not give his life to God. His one mistake. You know, I've known a lot of people in my lifetime who are highly successful in business. I've known a lot of people who were very astute when it came to life and living. But they omitted one thing. That is, they omitted the most important. And that was God. Do you realize that a higher price will be paid if you do not follow Jesus now? For according to the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, the Bible says to you who are troubled with us, when the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting punishment, he says, from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. What a tragedy it would be to go through life, having lived a good life morally, having lived a good life physically, having lived a good life materially, but to have been a failure spiritually. We must leave all for Christ and his gospel. We must. And finally, the reward of heaven comes to those who live that kind of life, eternal life. For in the book of Mark chapter 10, verse 28 through 31, there are just two questions that really ought to concern us this morning. Just two questions. What are they? Number one, have you counted the cost? Have you? That's not a question your neighbor ought to ask, a question that you ought to ask yourself. Have I counted the cost? And then number two, are you willing to pay the price? Now, you may be here this morning and you may have never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. You may not be a Christian. But is it time for you? When you think about all that Jesus did and all the events of his life from his birth through his ministry, through his death, and yea, through his resurrection, will you give your life to Jesus who gave his life for you? Is it time for you? Is there a sin in your life that's not been repented of? Is it? Do you understand about Jesus and what he's asking? And have you repented of your sin? And are you seriously thinking about your soul and your eternal destiny? And are you ready for the responsibility of becoming a Christian? Then just maybe, it's time for you to become a child of God. Several years ago, there was a severe potato famine in the 19th century that motivated many Irish people to come to the United States of America, to the New World, to find opportunities. One little boy did not have the money for the fare to board the ship to the New World. And he secretly boarded that ship as a stowaway. The ship eventually hit an iceberg and began to sink, and passengers filled the lifeboats in order to escape to safety. At first, the boy, who had been hiding in the hull of the ship, was not aware of what was going on. When he realized what was happening, he rushed up to the deck and he saw the captain taking the last seat in the last lifeboat. In the highest tradition of the sea, the captain got out of the lifeboat and gave the young boy his seat. As the lifeboat pulled away, the captain said to the boy, "Son, never forget what's been done for you." The boy became successful in the New World and was asked the secret of his motivation. And he said, "Whenever I begin to doubt myself or let up from what I ought to be doing, I always remember a captain standing on deck and saying, "Son, never forget what's been done for you." You know, when I think about my salvation, you know what I think about? Is I think about Jesus suspended between heaven and earth, saying to me, "Son, do not forget what's been done for you." I paid the price of becoming a Christian almost 50 years ago. I've never regretted a moment. I knew that my love for heaven was much greater than my love for earth. I knew that my love for God was much greater than my love for family and for the things of this world. The psalmist said, "For he remembered that they were but as flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again." Perhaps we should remember as well. Are you a Christian? Are you willing to pay the price this morning? He paid it for you. But he's asking you to pay a price. You see, salvation does not come without a demand from God, and that is that we follow him. And if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God this morning, and you're willing to give up your sin, you're willing to be baptized right now, today, for the remission of your sins, then you too can become a Christian. And after all, isn't that what Jesus asked us? And surely it's not too much. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." It's your call while we stand and while we sing.